data from the Pew Research Center show a big rise in the number of people in the U.S. living in multi-generational households, meaning a home with two parents, their young kids, and perhaps a grandparent. According to Pew, the number of people living in multi-generational homes has quadrupled since the early 1970s, and young men have been a big part of that. Nearly 4 in 10 men in their mid to late 20s are living with older relatives. We're taking a close look at that data and talking about what it tells us about how families and their living situations are changing. We'd love to hear what you think at 1-800-642-1234. Are you living in a multi-generational household, or have you in the past? What'd you like about it? 1-800-642-1234. We have with us Ariel Cooperberg, an associate professor of sociology and women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She's also chair of the Council on Contemporary Families. Ariel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what do we know about what's driving this increase in multi-generational households?
There's a number of factors. So on one end of life, people are living longer than they used to. Some of them may have higher rates of disability. We also have people who, if you look at the baby boomer generation, they have one of the highest divorce rates of any generation. So more of them may be aging alone. So they may move in with their children for companionship, for caretaking. On the other end of life, it's getting expensive for young people to move out. It's getting more and more expensive as time goes on. People are taking longer to get a good job and be able to afford to move out. Housing prices, again, are, you know, very high, so it's hard for people to move out. Childcare costs are high. So I think there are some multi-generational houses where grandparents may move in and help their kids take care of their grandkids. So there's a number of forces and kind of social changes. And then I think COVID also made things worse. Where a lot of people ended up moving back home in part because of loneliness, in part because of job loss, in part because their job went virtual and, you know, they wanted to move back with their family and they could.
Well, and I'm interested. I noticed that this was more true for young men in their late 20s than it was for women. What do we know about why that is?
Well, first of all, women tend to get married younger than men in general. On average, they get married about 2 years earlier. So one factor that may be going on here is that most people tend to move out of their parents' home when they get married. Other things that may be going on, women are now more educated than men are. So women in their 20s may find it easier to be able to afford to move out in some respects. When we talk about the pay gap between men and women, a lot of that pay gap doesn't begin until women start having children. So when they're in their 20s, before many of them have children, they have higher education. Just getting that education, a lot of people move away from their parents' house for the first time when they go to college. And women are now much more likely to go to college compared to men. So again, a number of factors, but all of these add up together.
Sure. And are there regional differences? Does this hold true across the country?
I think it's gone up all across the country, but it does depend on region. So for instance, in the Midwest, these rates are a little lower than some other regions of the country. In part, I think, because the Midwest has relatively lower housing costs compared to places like the East Coast and the West Coast, especially the Northeast, right? Mm-hmm. In part, people get married a little younger in the Midwest. So again, if you're getting married, most people will move out. If you could afford to move out, you're more likely to move out. Older people may also be able to afford more independent living places because the general cost of living is very low. Childcare is lower than in other regions of the country. So, and then in general, also, there are differences in terms of immigrants are more likely to live in multi-generation households, and people of color are more likely to live in intergeneration households. And the Midwest has fewer immigrants and people of color compared to some other regions of the country. So these, you know, these contribute to why it's a little bit lower in the Midwest. But I think across the board, throughout the country, these rates are going up and have been for a while.
So what does this data tell us about the idea of the nuclear family, the traditional, you know, two kids, and how prevalent that still is in America?
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of having two kids is still a very strong idea in America. When you say the traditional nuclear family, I would question how traditional that is, because if you look at history, there was only a really brief period in time, really like the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, when it was the norm for people to move out of their parents' house before they got married, for multi-generational households, you know, were kind of at an all-time low. And that was actually a pretty unique period in history. And there were, you know, a few things that made that period pretty unique. So if you look before that, for instance, before World War II, most people lived with their parents until they got married. And the life expectancy was also not very high. You know, 100 years ago, the life expectancy was around 60, right, less than 70. So there weren't a lot of elderly people necessarily living with their children because they weren't living.
Right. We're living longer.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's also a factor now, too, where people are living longer and longer. Social Security payments are not very high. You know, people have, you know, there's all sorts of health costs that come up that are not fully covered by government programs. And, you know, people are, you know, want to make sure their parents have good care. My own grandfather moved in with my parents before his death because, you know, my grandmother died and, you know, we realized he couldn't take care of himself. So my parents took care of him for a few years. And I think that's increasingly normal as, you know, people like my grandfather who lived until his late 80s, you know, that's an increasingly common experience.
Sure. So I wonder why were the 50s then an aberration? What caused the interest or the growth in that idea?
Yeah, there were a few things. So a major thing was World War II. After World War II, the soldiers all came home and millions of young men had access to the GI Bill, which suddenly allowed people to go to college who were never able to go to college before. And about 2 million young men took advantage of the GI Bill and went to college. And, you know, we see this huge increase in men going to college. And part of the GI Bill was they gave a living allowance so that people were able to move out of their parents' home. Then when they moved out of, you know, in general, after World War II, the United States experienced a lot of prosperity. They did very well economically for about a decade and a half after World War II. And so people were able to marry very young. The age of marriage dropped to an all-time low. About half of women were married by age 20. And about half of men were married by age 22. So again, if most, you know, half of people are married by the time they're entering their 20s, or at least half of women, and men aren't that far behind, again, those people are going to move out. And there were now these government programs that many young men had that, you know, not only the GI Bill, not only did it open up access to education, it also gave them help with mortgages.
Right.
So there was that. I think there was also, so before World War II, the United States was in the Great Depression for about a decade. And during the Great Depression, many people were forced to live with their family for much longer than they wanted to. The marriage rate went down very low. Age of marriage went up during that time. And more people, you know, we saw an increase in intergenerational households. So I think, you know, and then World War II happened and people were shipping off. But I think afterwards, there was kind of a backlash where people were like, well, now we could finally get out and have our freedom. So we're going to, you know, the best thing is to be free. you want to put your parents in a nursing home. We have the freedom to do that. We have the money to do that now. And I think part of it was a backlash to that kind of like a couple of decades of people feeling like they didn't have a choice.
We're talking to Arielle Cooperberg. She chairs the Council on Contemporary Families, and she's with us to talk about why multi-generational households are becoming more common in the United States. You can join in 1-800-642-1234. Are we talking about your family? Do you have a parent or relative living with you? Do you live with them? Do you do that for financial reasons, child care, elder care, something else? Give us a call. 800-642-1234. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz, in for Rob Ferret. We're talking about the rise of multi-generational households in the U.S. Arielle Cooperberg from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, stay with us. We'd love to hear from you. What does your family look like? What do you love about living that way? Come on, what do you struggle with? We're at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, ideas@wpr.org. Well, Arielle, I want to dig into the research that you've done on college students and recent graduates moving in with their parents. How much did the pandemic affect this trend?
Yeah, so I collected a survey of college students last April. And about 27% of them, so this was at two universities where I've been doing a study for a while, but last year about 27% said a year into the pandemic, they had moved back with their parents because of the pandemic.
Was that the primary reason?
I mean, we directly asked, like, did he move back home because of the pandemic? And we also, looked at people who lived with their parents for other reasons. And there were a fair amount of people who lived with their parents before the pandemic. Among students, it was about 46% had lived with their family. We asked, where did you live in February 2020? During, as a result of the pandemic, this number went up to 62%. So there was, you know, definitely living, the pandemic was not the only reason that people live with their parents in young adulthood. We also found in research that was kind of prior to the pandemic that people are more likely to move back home with their parents after they graduate college. So over half of college graduates in our study move back home within the first year and a half after graduation.
So do you expect that would change as the pandemic lessons, dare I say?
Yeah, I think to some extent. So one thing we found last year was there was a big drop compared to previous surveys that were prior to the pandemic in terms of the graduating seniors in college who said they had a job lined up for after graduation. So I think one reason we may see these trends of people moving back home during the pandemic is job loss, or there weren't job opportunities. Now we're in an we're kind of in the reverse situation where some places are having problems hiring, wages are going up. So that could mean some reversal in this trend. But in the long run, I think, you know, it's still going to be higher than it was 20 years ago. But I think there was definitely a bump up during the pandemic that hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, this pandemic is soon going to be coming to an end and things will be reversing themselves.
And what do you think the impact of this will be on our housing market, say?
I think one thing we're seeing kind of play out already is that more people are living with their parents for longer, which means parents who previously would have been retiring and downsizing to smaller houses are now staying in those houses. So one of the reasons, you know, people talk about investors is the reason the housing market is so tight right now for people trying to move into houses, right? But part of that is people not selling their house because their kids still need that extra bedroom because now they're living at home until they're 28 or 30. So I think it's contributing to this tightening of houses. I think on the other end, as more people are kind of having these multi-generational families with their parents, you may see interest in different types of housing that has, they call them mother-in-law apartments, like
Right.
a place in your house that's a little kind of set off from the rest of the house so people could have their privacy but could also easily reach each other. So I think those might become more popular. And then if fewer young adults are leaving their home, there's also the housing market of the rental market of people selling, renting to college age students and 20 somethings is kind of, like rundown apartments we all had in our 20s.
Yeah.
So those, maybe those will become less competitive.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this trend will continue, if it will start to drive changes in the way our cities look, in the way, like you said, zoning has to change to allow for the density required to have space for people living together. But I wonder if this trend is, I mean, it's been happening since the 70s, right? So beyond the pandemic, is this enough to structurally drive changes, or is it too soon?
I think it will eventually. I think we're also going to see things like because of the pandemic, there was a huge push to embrace online technology. So I think a lot of online courses were developed. There may be more options for distance learning, which may also drive more people to stay home. I think there's been a public conversation about student debt. That's one thing I study is student debt.
Sure.
And there's been a big public conversation about that over the past few years, which I think maybe has made some people question taking out student loans to move away to college, for instance. So I think all these trends are going to continue to, maybe it'll go down a little bit after the pandemic, but in the long run, I think we're going to continue to see an increase in intergenerational households, unless we see major social change, where you can never tell what happens in the future,
Sure.
right? No one could have
Sure.
predicted COVID, and all the changes it would make. And I don't think any of us really knows how many of these changes are going to be permanent and how many, will go back to the way things were.
Yeah. Well,
So we'll find out in the next few years, I guess.
and I wonder what you found in your research when you were talking to young people about how the experience of having to live with their families or with their parents, how it kind of changed their perception of adulthood.
Yeah, so many people expect that, you graduate college and then you're going to go off and become an adult and be independent. So moving back home, often for financial reasons in our study, to save money, we focus on people who had student loan debt. So a lot of them were paying off their student loan debt. Felt to many people in our study who we interviewed like they weren't a grown up. Right? Like they couldn't be fully adults because they're still living with their parents. And some of them kind of had strategies to feel more like an adult. So some of them, and this is a study I did with my co-author, Joni Mazzellis, who did all these actual interviews. I do more of the survey stuff. But some of them had strategies like they would pay their parents $50 a month or $100 a month and kind of felt like, oh, now it's an equal partnership because I'm paying rent. Some of them paid more. Some of them were giving like $500 a month to their parents.
Interesting.
They would give back help in other ways. But then that led some of them to feel like it was kind of a burden. Some of them. One person was helping out with her younger siblings and was basically doing full-time childcare for them while her parents were working. And she felt like that was kind of burdensome, but that she had to do it because she was living with her parents for free. And then, but a lot of people felt there was a lot of benefits to it. And we had people in our study who, just in 3 years after graduation, were able to pay off student loan debt. We had people who were able to save up for a down payment and bought a house within 3 years after graduating. And, you know, a lot of people said their parents were happy to help them out and they wanted them to live with them so that they could save that money. So, you know, there were benefits and drawbacks, I think.
Well, we've got just a minute left, but we have a caller on the line. I'll go next to Sun Prairie, where we've got Steve on the line. Good afternoon, Steve. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just a little confused by the guest comment. You know, compared to 20 years ago when we had a lot of baby boomers still in the prime of their career, things have dramatically changed. We've been talking about for 25 years now in manufacturing that we're going to have so many open positions because the baby boomers retiring.
Okay.
Even in the accounting world, there's not enough accountants that are graduating.
Sure,
To
Steve,
take
we got
the
just a
position.
minute left. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but I'd want to hear Ariel's response to the question of jobs being prevalent and available now.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, jobs are available now, but they also don't have the benefits or pay that jobs used to have, right? So that's another reason people are staying with their parents for longer. You're definitely right.
All right. Well, I think we are going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We have been speaking with Arielle Cooperberg. She is a sociologist with the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She was talking with us today about the growing number of multi-generational households in the United States and what that tells us about how our families and how our communities are changing.